this evening, my
It's nice to have you with us again.
It's always good to join you here.
I'm pleased to hear that.
Let us thank that divine creator for this gathering here. Let me speak this time on something that you all wonder upon.
Yes, we look forward to this.
So often I hear what is the meaning of our lives here. What are we meant to do? Why are we here upon this earthly plane? I have spoken briefly before and told you all why you are here is love. But too often I hear doubts as to your abilities. You wonder if you should be involved in this spiritualism, as you call it. It is one name for many ways of living. I would say to you all these few words, my friends. Service is the reason for your being here. I hear you now say, tell me what is service. I feel you are a little confused upon this matter.
I think I could ask for everybody. I believe we all are confused to a certain extent. From what we have been told previously, that we choose our lives when we come back. And I think my friends here also have wondered why we should choose an existence on this earth which often is full of pain, suffering, and misery. You would say, no doubt, that it helps in our development. But to me, the two don't always seem to coincide.
In what way, my friend?
Because what is the reason for us deciding to choose a life that is uncomfortable, unhappy perhaps, and in the main full of disappointments and misery? Are we always responsible for choosing that sort of life?
Let me speak a little. Let me deviate a little from what I was saying.
Sure.
Of course, in your physical way of thinking, you would not accept discomfort, pain, unhappiness, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that is your physical brain thinking. When you come to the spiritual aspect of yourself, it sees the much greater picture. So, suffering, pain, discomfort is not seen as anything to be pushed to one side, but it is seen as a way of your soul's growth. So, although these aspects of your living are painful, you have to see the beauty within the soul. I know this is difficult for you to understand fully, because no one on your earthly plane wants to suffer. But your higher self, knows that sometimes this is necessary. Can you see?
Yes, so we have to try and think more of our spiritual selves rather than the physical self. I think this is what you are saying to us.
You have to raise that part of yourselves to find the fuller explanation.
I see.
You are not one unit, my friend.
No.
I have explained this to you.
You have indeed.
Try to see yourselves on a much wider scale. Think not only of this one lifetime. You see?
Yes. Yes, I follow you. We do, of course, being human, physical, we do tend to look only at that particular part of our existence, forgetting the many facets of life which we have had and will have.
When you return home, you can, on hindsight, you say, see for yourselves what has been achieved through many sufferings.
Mercy.
Do not look upon unhappiness, suffering, disappointments as something to be sad about. That higher being knows so much more. It is difficult, I know, but please accept my words as being truth.
We would, of course, we wouldn't dream of querying it, but it answers the question which has been in my mind, and as I said, I'm sure has been in my colleague's mind also, being difficult to understand why we should voluntarily submit ourselves to a life of unpleasantness.
Let me say also, I have been speaking about service. Can you not see that by some suffering you have given someone else the opportunity to serve?
Yes, quite.
You must not look upon it as an isolated thing.
Now, I was talking to somebody early this morning about the similarity there, saying that people wish to give as well as to receive, and it gives them happiness to be able to give.
Yes, you must look so much farther than just to one person. You are not single units. When you come to this life, you have chosen the pathway that is best for your growth. It may include suffering, it may not. It depends on what you have returned for.
So when we choose our lifetime on this earth, it is our spiritual self which is choosing it.
Of course.
Yes, thank you. That does clarify it for me. And that leads me to another item. We often read of people in the East, wise men, gurus and so on, who do peculiar things in our estimation, such as keeping an arm raised aloft until it withers. We could never understand it, or I could never understand it. And this, I imagine, would be the spiritual awareness in them taking suffering further of the physical body for the benefit of their spiritual development.
They are exercising that spiritual part which feels no suffering. They have become so attuned that these things can be done without discomfort.
Without terror.
You all could achieve it. It is not unknown. These are the things you have lost down the many ages of your earthly existences.
Yes, sir. You say it doesn't give them the discomfort we would imagine them to have?
Exactly. If they feel discomfort, that is the human part of them. What they are doing is exercising that spiritual knowledge.
I see.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Yes, you said we've lost something through the ages. Some people talk about us as clearing our karmic debt at the moment, and that the suffering has to be gone through in order to clear that, and that later there will be a much better time. I don't know if you could clarify that at all.
I am not happy with the phraseology karmic debt. What is karma but the result of cause and effect? Something you all have. As we have said, you go through many stages of knowledge, of wisdom. You return many times, if necessary, to learn those lessons which help with the soul's growth. So, in respect of karmic debts, I would rather you do not look upon it that way, but rather that you return to gain more knowledge. To say karmic debt rather implies a hell upon your earth, and that is not what your lives are about. Do you understand?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, that's a very clear explanation. Thank you. I've always been suspicious of the phrase because it seemed contradictory to other learning and teaching.
It is the growth of your spiritual being that is the most important.
So presumably when we come over to you next from this life, we enter a spiritual world as we know, and we are more aware of our spiritual ancestry and future. Do we then wait until such time as conditions upon the earth, some hundreds of years hence perhaps, are suitable for our return for further development of our spiritual self?
You can manifest yourself upon this earth within hours, days, years, centuries. Let me say this to you. The decision on these matters lie solely with your higher selves, that part of you which knows all when you return home.
I see.
You yourself, with a council, will decide the most opportune moment to return, when conditions are right for you, when the people you have chosen to return with, when all are ready. It is again not an individual thing.
And that's so.
Always you look upon yourselves as one item.
Yes, it's difficult not to.
I know, and this is what you must move away from.
Mm-hmm.
All of you are intertwined in some way. Those loved ones that you have spent your time upon this earthly plane with. So many before, so many to come. It is not a decision made solely for yourself.
I see.
So it is much more complex.
Yes, it's obviously a matter of absolute interdependence, from what you say.
Yes. Yes, if you can imagine the twine of rope intermingled together. Each one is strong, but together they are stronger.
Yes.
You see, each one depends upon the other.
And you mentioned a council a few moments ago. Does that mean we would discuss with this council the advisability of returning at a particular time?
There is wise counsel, yes.
Thank you.
But the decision rests with you.
But we would have the benefit of their spiritual knowledge, presumably, which would be much greater than ours.
Of course.
Thank
there
you.
Has to be that wisdom.
Yes.
Otherwise you would flounder.
Well, we could make a lot of mistakes.
Yes, unfortunately, and sometimes you make wrong decisions, but of course that is your option.
Yes.
That is why sometimes so many return again and again, and still they do not learn those lessons which were intended for them.
That's her. That's her own free will coming into play again then.
Do not underestimate your free will.
No. So our return to the earth could be in comparatively short time, or it may be many, many years, according to the requirements of our spiritual selves.
Of course. Sometimes the spirit sees within hours that which has been left undone.
I see.
And seeks to rectify those problems. Or the soul may consider after counsel that it would be best to wait.
Yes.
It is a matter for many.
Thank you. And one other thing which has puzzled me, accepting, as I do, and I imagine my friends do also, what you have told us, would we always return to this particular planet?
I would say you do. I know there are disparities of opinion. But yes, you do return. You are a thing. You do not learn from other planets until your time on Earth has been finished properly, then you cannot go elsewhere.
So from that then, I would imagine that we are in some way part and parcel of the very Earth upon which we live.
Yes, you are its very structure.
Okay.
Good one. It's good one.
Certainly clears several queries I had. You will take questions, would you please, Simon?
Of course.
Thank you. Yes, please.
It just occurred to me, I wondered how the Earth learning differed from other kinds of learning.
I have to say, and I have said previously, you beings on this earthly plane are so young in this stepladder of knowledge.
You have said,
yes.
And I would reiterate it for you. Although you think your knowledge has expanded, you do not see the much wider roof. Like a ladder, you are aware of what is below, what is on top, but you can see no further.
Mm-hmm.
It is never ending.
So, would I be right in presuming that part of our destiny is to remain on this earth time and again until we reach a certain spiritual development which would free us from the confines of this planet?
Until such time as those lessons you need to know, then you will remain upon this earthly planet. Yes, you are correct. There comes a stage when you throw off those bonds and move forward. Then, and only then, would you be permitted to travel to other places.
Okay.
But we are speaking many eons of your time.
Yes, of course. Yes, I do appreciate that. And that's something, of course, we cannot imagine. We have no conception of the time factors involved.
My mission coming here is to teach you what you must know.
Well, we're very happy to be learning from you. And that, of course, raises another question. We don't know, obviously we don't know, how long the Earth is going to remain as a habitable planet. Is there any likelihood of the, and I appreciate the enormity of time involved here, we'll have to put that to one side, is there any likelihood of the earthly planet finishing its specified time within the universe before we have finished our learning?
Of course, this Earth planet has to have a time of learning. Let me say, your planet is a very tiny speck within one universe.
Yes.
Of course, there is a time limit. It is the natural progression of law.
Right.
But that will not happen while there are people who need to learn. There will come a time when it will be a natural progression for the planet to disintegrate.
Yes.
That we are talking of many complex matters here.
Yes, of course we are. But it has occurred to me that if we are effectively confined to this planet until we have finished our required learning, and that planet had its own destiny mapped out for it.
Yes, which it has.
Were the two going to conflict? And if the planet disintegrated, say, or finished its allotted span within the universe and became a cold, lifeless hulk, and would there have been any people who had not finished their learning before that happened?
I understand your question. Let me reassure you. All life is energy.
Yes.
Whether it is in the form of human flesh or whatever, all life exists and will remain so.
I see.
Please do not concern yourself. You, my friend, are thinking again in human terms.
Mm-hmm.
Try to see it as an advancement, as a growth of energy, and then perhaps it will become acceptable to you.
Yes. Yes, it is confusing to us with our limited human
always
minds.
Limited knowledge makes this concourse difficult.
Mm-hmm. So overriding all that, I can accept, and I do accept, the necessary growth of the spiritual being. And that overrides everything else, even if I can't understand the other. It is a peculiar feeling in myself.
Of course, because you have become so used to that human aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, it is not really you. Remember, it is a covering for that spiritual being which will always exist.
Yes.
It matters not whether upon this earthly plane, another planet, wherever, it will continue and go forward.
So it would be wise for us, if possible, then, and this may sound very childish, but when we do a good deed for another person and find a physical pleasure in doing that, however small the aspect of it, we all experience that little happiness of having done something for another person. We should try and recognize that as a spiritual doing rather than a physical.
We come back again to what I was speaking of, service.
Yes.
What is service? And so many times I hear you say, I must do healing, perhaps I should develop this, develop that. Let me say to you, my friends, service is a smile. It is creating happiness where there is unhappiness. Turning sorrow to joy for another. So many small things. That is what your very existence is about.
Yes, multiplicity of small things, isn't it?
That, my friend, is service.
Yes. So basically then we could come back to the quote in the Bible when it is said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
I say to you, do unto others even when they do not dawn to you.
Yes, that takes it one step further, I agree.
That is true service. True. Where you require thanks, where you require your joy, your happiness for yourself, but you offer thanks to that great Creator who gives you life.
Yes, I follow you.
I wish so that I could enrich your knowledge, but of course, being human, you will never attain perfection. Upon this imperfect earth, I hope you can accept that and do not be too hard upon yourselves when you fail. But I say to you, recognize it, and so it will dispel. You understand?
Yes. This is certainly a very interesting discussion with you, and that we appreciate it enormously. Does anybody else have questions? I forget what our friend said before. He smiles when all your questions come out and when you go out of the meeting.
Well, I'm not sure it's giving me new hope.
Is there anything you want to ask?
I would say that we have an expression, service with a smile.
Right.
And it seems to me that service is a smile.
It is, yeah.
It is the many small everyday happenings in your lives.
I have tried to explain to people who want knowledge of our work that there's nothing euphoric in being a medium or an instrument. It is merely a channel for good intentions and good work. And I have said, even if you take the trouble to take a person across a busy thoroughfare, you are in effect a medium. You are a channel for service.
Yes, let me say, there should be no false gratification in the work that you do for spirit. You are only endeavoring to do that which is normal or should be doing.
Right. We have always tried to keep this in mind in healing and in our group meetings.
There are many people upon your earth who have no knowledge of what you call spiritual matters, but are in themselves the most spiritual of people. The people you speak of who are ready to offer a hand, a smile, even just to be there to listen, all of these things are spiritual growth.
Yes, we are very pleased when we hear our patients and others say, I love going into that room, there's something different about it, and I feel much better for having been there. That makes us feel that we are doing our work in the right way.
What is happening then is not physical healing,
no.
But what healing should be is that it touches their very soul. That is the true meaning of healing. That recognition of themselves. That wonderment of that feeling within. You see?
Yes. Yes, we're very pleased when we hear it, because we feel we have done something worthwhile.
Let me say to you, if only you touch one soul, whilst upon this earth, then you can say,
yes.
I have tried.
Right.
But let me say to you, the person without the knowledge which you within this room have can do the very same deed. Indeed, they have done more than tried, because it has come from that innate spirit being without the knowledge. That is indeed a great deed. Can you see?
Yes.
Too often I see people put down as having no religions, no faith, so many things they are put down about, when in fact they shine forth as great spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you would be able to see that, wouldn't you?
Let me say, my friends, the knowledge, this knowledge that you have, which you accept as true, we are pleased to see you, to see that light grow. But upon you it places an even greater burden, because in having that knowledge, you cannot turn around and say, I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do a misdeed or an unkindness to another, then your very heart should pull in shame. Can you see?
Yes. The effect of that wrongdoing is more so than it would be if done by a person without knowledge.
Yes, indeed.
And of course, in the law of cause and effect, it would rebound on us to a greater degree.
You would have the rebound effect upon yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, you see, your responsibilities are great.
Yes, we accept that.
Now, I think all this time I have spoken enough. But I would say to you all, thank you for gathering, for making my work here so much easier, and also I would say bring me much joy and happiness, and I say to you, my friends, let great Creator be with you all.
and for your patience and your explanations. Love this show.